This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
All right, best of the weekend. We're going to start with a play that has created as much conjecture as it did momentum in a ball game, because Kenny Pickett's 58-yard run Saturday night in the ACC Championship, presented by Subway, kind of set social media on its ear a little bit. So Pickett takes off, Pack, and then fakes the slide.
I thought it was a great play.
I did too. I mean, still do.
I mean, okay, I know Dave Clawson didn't care for it and thinks the NCAA Rules Committee should look at this. You know, you can tackle the guy with the ball. It's not against the law.
Right.
It was a smart, shrewd business move right here. This was a ball player right here.
Yeah. Going,
oh, you want to stay 8 yards away from me? Yeah, I'm going to go down. Nope.
That's it.
Catch you. I'm going to the end zone. I mean, it was a great play.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
So Kenny Pickett's fake slide on the 58-yard run, ultimately for the score, is our best of the weekend.
By the way,
yes, sir?
Pat Narduzzi and I exchanged text messages yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I asked Coach, I said, how often do you practice that? And he goes, never.
Right.
He goes, that was Kenny Pickett making a play.
Yeah.
That's a football player making a play. We don't practice it. That was him going, hey, I got a feel. Guy's off of me. I'll just give him the old fake left, go right, and he did.
All right.
It was a great play.
Rules committee will convene sometime in the winter. But let's get post-game reaction from the coaches. Pat Narduzzi is up next, but here is Dave Clawson of Wake Forest.
I've never, ever seen that before. You know, you just train your players. As soon as a quarterback starts sliding, you stop. Because you touch him, and it's going to be a penalty. And he started his slide. And our kids stopped playing. And, I mean, if, you know, I don't think he did it intentionally. If he did, he's brilliant. I just think he reacted as an athlete. But it's, I don't, what do you tell your players? There's, you know, you the quarterback's protected, and you start a slide, and there's two guys that could have made a play that stopped playing because he started the slide. So that is certainly something for the rule book that I think that's something they have to look at and come up with a rule for. And there's no rule for it, so the officials were correct in letting it go. They made the correct ruling by not blowing it dead. But I said, if that's the rule, like, I'll just have my guy fake kneeing all the way down the field, and, you know, really, what do you do? So it's something that I think the NCAA is going to have to look at, and, you know, you can't fake a slide.
Well, first of all, you know, if it was intentional and, you know, if you really did that, you've never seen him do that. I think it was called instincts in a heck of a football play by Kenny Pickett. I mean, he started to slide. He drug his foot. And then I think he just, I mean, the guys were still, you know, 10 yards away from him. You know, the closest guy might have been 4 or 5 yards away. And I just think he thought about it. And, you know, there was a little hesitation. He was going to go down and be smart and be safe. But he was like, hold on a second. He drugged that right foot, I believe it was, and then just took off. He's an athlete, and you know, you can't teach that. It's called instincts. And to me, it was a heck of a play. And you know, you can watch all the slides through the years. Guys, quarterbacks are getting whacked on those things. So to me, I'd coach our defensive guys to finish the play. And if he goes down, a lot of times we slide over top of him. And you know, it's being a football player. You got to finish the play. There's a thing called a whistle, and when the whistle blows, you stop. But until then, you gotta gather up. And if the quarterback slides too late, you know, we've seen guys slide late and you know, get scraped up and tattooed a little bit, and it's part of the game. Again, okay. He never practiced it. It wasn't something we said, hey, today we're gonna fake slide. It was a football play, and Kenny Pickett is the best, and that's why he's a champion.
Can I say one thing?
Sure.
Wherever you fall on this, that's fine. Doesn't matter, but. Before we have the NCAA rule folks look into this that doesn't exist, can we handle targeting first? Can we address targeting before we worry about the Pickett rule on the slide?
I knew
because
that we
targeting
would go there.
Stinks. That rule needs to be addressed 4 years ago. So before we worry about the Pickett rule,
right.
Let's worry about targeting. Let's address that first.
All right.
And get that one right.
Good.
Just saying.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that part. Here's the part about this that I think you're going down the wrong path if you want a rule put in. Okay? It's an illusion play.
Like a magic trick?
Much like fake. Well, no, you're in charge of magic. It's much like faking the spike. Clock running down, you know, you fake the spike, then you throw the ball.
Smart move.
Right, it is. That's what Kenny did Saturday night. It was a smart move.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I mean, you know what? He probably knows that just in typical fashion, he can't straight line speed beat Nick Anderson and those other guys to the pylon. So what's he going to do? He's going to give the illusion, or he's going to simulate slowing down. And in the process, he drags his feet. It's almost like he's changing gears on him. It gets a competitive play in the game.
I think he made a football.
I'm with Pat on this. He makes a football play. I don't think he's trying to deceive anybody.
Well, maybe he is.
Well, so maybe, what? But you deceive. You're not trying to change the integrity of the game. You're making a play in an open field. It's not like you're cheating. It's not like you throw another guy
like
on the field.
Pat said, hey, you got a whistle, blow it. Until you blow it, hey, keep playing.
But you know what? The official cannot blow the whistle because he's not down. He hasn't been made contact. Well, you can't anticipate calls like targeting.
And if he did, we could spend 10 minutes underneath the hood trying to figure out what's going on.
That's the other issue here.
Let's not create
another
rule.
Why are we going to create another play where something happens and we're going to review it?
Get targeting straightened out. We'll all be better off. Let's do it before we're dead.
Roddy Jones has a theory. Hit the guy. Pay for 15.
You know what Pat was going to say. Hey, guy with the ball, hit him.
Right. If it had been the other way around, Pat would have said hit the player, right?
Make a tackle. Make a football play. All right, let's go.
All right. Next up, Kenny Pickett sets the ACC single-season record, passing touchdowns with 42, the career passing record at Pittsburgh with 81. Congratulations to him on that. Only took one to set one mark and two to set the other. And he did both. Rodney Hammond the first. And Jordan Addison was another contender in this as well.
Makes it look easy, man.
Ball just comes out of his hand like a piece of cake, man.
Just lay up.
All right, let's go to hoops. Syracuse snaps Florida State's 25-game ACC home court winning streak. Impressive effort by the Orange.
Yep. Florida State just needed one more ACC win at home to tie Duke's all-time record of 26 straight ACC wins in the home place. Jeez. But guess what? The Orange had other thoughts.
Yep.
Bombing 35-footers all day. Boink. Still trying to figure out Florida State. That's still kind of a work in progress for Leonard Hamilton's guys. And Syracuse has been weird, haven't they, Wes?
Yep.
They've given you some efforts where Colgate puts 100 on them, and you're like, what's going on there? But that was a really, really good win for Coach Boeheim.
Steve Forbes and Wake Forest go to the Castle in Blacksburg in game two of our triple header on Saturday. And I mean the Deacons go up there on the business now. Davian Williamson played pretty well. Dallas Walton inside. I'm not sure we're going to run this clip here. But if we do, it's an unbelievable pass from Alondis Williams to Cam Hildreth.
Magic Johnson light is what that was. This is a great win for Wake now. Because I'm buying Virginia Tech, aren't you?
Yeah, sneaky Deacons now. I'll tell you, Deacons are...
Here we go again. We went with the Swiss in football, and here comes the Swiss in hoops.
Coach Forbes would like to have a word with you, by the way. Earl Grant.
Well, he didn't like the Swiss?
No, I think he'd be fine with it.
Well,
I think he probably doesn't want you upselling yet.
I'm not selling anybody yet. Okay. I'm just telling you, that was a great win for Wake Forest.
Earl Grant, impressive debut. How Friday night for Boston College in the ACC. Captain Canada helps BC to a big win over Notre Dame.
I mean, this was a woodshed job. All of a sudden, Mike Bray's guys, all these old guys he kept talking about, kind of worried about Notre Dame a little bit. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Thought they'd get out of the gate a little bit faster than this. But for Coach Grant, man, welcome to the ACC. He's like, man, ain't no big deal. I'm undefeated in this league.
That's my man.
He's dancing, having a good time. Good for BC.
Yeah, great.
Another good win.
All right, next up. We go to Coral Gables, where after his team came from behind to beat Clemson on Saturday, Jim Larrañaga goes.
Have you seen this yet?
No.
You're going to love this.
Jim Larrañaga goes Muhammad Ali on you.
Did we fight?
Yeah.
Like Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
right. The Ali shuffle from Larinaga.
Yeah. The Larinaga shuffle.
My gosh.
Down 9 at Clemson with 5 to go. No problem.
Boy, Jordan.
Got him right where we want him.
Tell you what, Jordan Miller was tremendous in the last 5 minutes. Keep an eye on the Canes.
Larinaga, man.
Larinaga now.
He's doing his little Mick Jagger out there.
Got a little bounce to him.
Guy's rocking it.
Yeah. Louisville hit a season high 11 threes in Raleigh on Saturday afternoon against NC State. Second game this year with 10 or more threes after not having any like this a season ago, Pac.
For a brief moment, I thought this could be going overtime. Again, after NC State's Nebraska four overtime thriller the other night in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. Good win, though, for Louisville. We pointed this out earlier. Roadies had a pretty good run here in game one in the ACC race.
Sure did. Sure did. Let's go to Syracuse. Tisha Hyman, triple-double in a 116-65 win over Central Connecticut State. Whoa, hey! Okay. How about that?
That looked like West Durham Elon Rec League right there. Huh? Behind the back?
I don't know about that.
That's part of your repertoire.
27-15-11 for Hyman. Two rebounds shy of a quadruple-double. Vaughn Reed now.
Just saying.
Okay.
Remember we interviewed Coach?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of low-key.
Very.
Very very subtle. Just kind of very humble.
That's right.
Wasn't going to sell anybody. Hey, it's been a time of change at Syracuse on the women's side.
Yep.
He's taking care of business.
That's it. You got it. Next, Notre Dame and Clemson reached the Men's College Cup semifinals, Mark.
And they will see each other. We're guaranteed at least one in the championship. And, of course, Notre Dame had to knock off Pittsburgh to do it. And they've been doing that lately a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Seem to have Pitt's number. And Clemson then upset the number one overall seed there, Oregon State. And game on. So good luck to the Tigers, or as Brian Kelly calls them, the Tigers, and Notre Dame.
Florida State, Mark Krikorian and the Seminoles, they're in the national championship game. They beat Rutgers 1-0 on Friday. BYU up next for the Natty.
Would really like to see Florida State win this thing. After what happened last year, like we talked about it all year long. Unfinished business for the ladies in Tallahassee. Lost the national championship last year in penalty kicks. Now they get a chance to close the deal. Should be good.
Louisville, Pitt, and Georgia Tech have reached the round of 16 at the NCAA volleyball tournament.
Well, we got three in the top eight seeds, and number one overall is Louisville. And everybody got off to a good start in the tournament, which is good. We'll see how this plays out, too. Big year, though, for the volleyball teams.
No question.
Big year.
Absolutely. Georgia Tech, a big win at O'Keefe Gym. And, of course, Louisville at home as well, advancing in the NCAA volleyball tournament. Coach Fisher in Pittsburgh taking names. Keep an eye on the ACC there. Best of the weekend. Amy Yacola saves Pax money.
If I don't know about money, but maybe my credit history, finding my wallet with all my credit cards in it at the game Saturday night. So got to give a shout-out to Amy Yacola.
All right. My friend Hugh Burns wanted to know, you never said where it was found.
Yeah, apparently it was found, because I asked. I said, where was it?
Yeah.
And apparently it was found outside the club area, which I was stationed in for a while.
Okay.
And then Amy sent me a picture holding all the credit cards and said, which one should I use first? And I wrote her back. I said, use all of them.
Yeah.
Thank God for Amy Yacola.
What kind of music were we playing in that club there the other night? Any kind of club music? Anything like that?
No, not that I'm aware
of. Oh, so it was a different kind of club. It wasn't like a dance club.
I think it was the Pittsburgh marching band underneath me cranking up tunes. No.
All right.
One at the club, but they called it that. I can't remember the name of the
place. I got you.
Place.
Okay. All right.
It's not really my style.
No, I hear you on that. I got you.
I'm normally, like I said, I'm normally an upper deck corner guy.
I'm with you.
It was nice, though. Got to tell you.
There you go.
Kind of get used to that living, that West Durham broadcast living.
No, no. You were already there, my man. Living. No, you already played your hand on that one. You're going to go to the 300, 500 level there at BOA. You're going to sit up top.
I had tickets in section 542 when I bought PSLs.
Yeah.
I did.
What about for the game the other night?
I don't know what section that was in, but it was nice.
Okay.
Until I realized I lost my wallet.
And panic set in.
I did panic. I was in deep trouble.
Is that part of the worst of the weekend since Amy finding the wallet was...
No, Amy Yacola gets all the credit in the world.
All right.
Because she saved me.
Right.
And the worst thing is, like I told you, I got home panic-stricken, called all the credit card companies, which took about an hour.
Right.
And then 20 minutes after that, ding!
Yeah.
Here's a picture of Amy going, hey, I found your wallet. You want me to drop it off to you? I'm like, what? Yeah. What are you talking about?
Well, once she figured out it wasn't going to cash out anywhere, she gave all the stuff.
Maybe that's what it was.
When we come back, worst of the weekend. Pac losing his wallet would be worst of the weekend. But we got others, too, unfortunately. We'll cover that next. Packer and Durham presented by Subway. Oh, yeah, this thing right here. Back after this on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
And we gave you the good side. Now, the not so much was. The worst of the weekend.
And some of this is going to hit home a little quicker than it probably needed to for some of these schools in basketball because, man, there was some root canals this weekend. We'll start Friday night in Charlottesville. I thought Jeff Capel and Pittsburgh were on the way to posting a great win.
I did too.
And then
5 second call.
My goodness, 5 seconds there. It's 56-52 with 11 seconds left.
Yep.
Look at this. Gardner bounces around and it dropped in.
Bounced five times.
Oh.
Five times. You're talking about a soft rim. Pitt did everything they could do to lose this game with 11 seconds.
Mm.
You name it, they did it.
Yeah.
But Virginia found a way, right? At the end of the day, hey, win or loss, it's all we don't know. Is it a W or an L? For Tony Bennett, it's a W. You move on. Still work to be done with the Hoos. I mean, they got a lot of work to do. But Pitt, yikes.
Well,
should have won that one.
Clemson has 4 losses in 9 games to start the season. And for the Tigers, unfortunately, 3 of them are earmarked by the last, 6 minutes of a ball game?
Got to close. They have been lousy in the close the department of, hey, win a game, go win the thing, right? They just, they've had double-digit leads where they lost St. Bonnie's game, right? Yep. They lost the West Virginia game with a double-digit lead. Yep. They're up 9 with 5 minutes to go on the road against Miami, and they go L, L, L in those 3.
See Charlie Moore, Sam Wardenburg dialing up from behind the line. Jordan Miller played well for Coach Larrañaga's team. P.J. Hall, by the way, late, trying to get Clemson to back to within 1. And just a tough, tough loss for Clemson, who, like many schools, has the week off before they play again next Saturday. It's exam week over many of the institutional campuses, so there won't be a lot of basketball activity during the week. Some, but not as much as you'd be accustomed to.
You got
to
start figuring out a way to win those games too, Wes.
That's right, resume games.
All of a sudden, you become Georgia football. Uh-oh, here we go again, right? You get one of those feelings that things getting ready to slip away from us. You got to freaking figure out a way to bust the door down and say, guess what? We're not going to lose this one.
Go to the ladies' side. Boston College, Joanne Barnaby McNamee's team, 30 turnovers in a 6-point loss to VCU.
That's not good. That's not good. 30 turnovers will get you beat.
And it led to 29 points. You know, that's the real issue.
Here's what I know. You tell me your basketball team's going to turn over 30 times, I like your chances to lose. You tell me you're going to throw 4 picks in a championship game, I like your chances to lose. That's how it works.
Notre Dame's women outscored 22-10 in the fourth. They lose by 19 to UConn.
Well, there's no shame losing to UConn, first of all.
Oh, man.
I mean, UConn can play. I mean, that's just what it is. You're going to have to play outstanding basketball to beat UConn. So you come in there and let that thing get away from you in the fourth quarter. Still think Notre Dame's turned the corner on the ladies' side. I think they're going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Don't know if they're going to be good enough to win the league because NC State and Louisville look still to be the standards. But I like the direction at least Notre Dame women's basketball team's headed in.
That was Paige Beckers got hurt in that game too, I think, right? One of the premier women's players in the game at UConn.
So I saw, by the way, Chester's favorite player.
Haley Van Lith.
She was lighting it up.
Okay, good.
Just saying. Yeah. Look, I said, look.
See, you said it, and there he is.
He will sit there and watch Louisville women's basketball. He loves women's Louisville women's basketball. Haley Van Lith is Chester's favorite. I mean, he's been sound asleep on now. You know, by the way, that's the rug, that blanket. Yeah. That's a Jim Phillips demand.
Oh, is it? Demand brought you a rug.
Yeah, so Chester loves the rugs that the commish brought. But if Haley Van Lith's playing.
There he is.
My man right there. Look at him. Look, like he's been sound asleep. As soon as I say Haley Van Lith, look, he's wild. Like all of a sudden, oh, Haley's here?
Unbelievable.
He loves Haley Van Lith.
All right. Florida State in Miami eliminated from the NCAA volleyball tournament over the weekend. Nebraska got the Noles 3-0. Florida beat Miami 3-0. Oof.
Yeah, you can't win them all. But I tell you what, the league, like I told you, you got three teams in the top eight seeds. Got a chance to make a deep run here in this tournament.
Yep.
Not everybody's going to win.
So there you go. Of course, we got three left. As Pac said, Sam Hartman's Bank of America Stadium nightmare continues.
What's up with that?
I don't know. Four interceptions against Pitt, eight in the last two games played in the stadium. I don't know. I
eight picks. A guy hadn't thrown eight picks in his life. Did we not have a question last week about number of turnovers in this game? Would there be two picks? And I said there would be at least two.
Right. Yeah.
And I didn't expect four.
No, I'm with you on that. This was a sidebar to the discussion of the game the other night in the second half. Izzy Abanikanda runs out of bounds during the game, and I don't know that this is an assistant, a GA, an analyst, but watch this. Bam. And Izzy and don't come over here. Don't want any of it. Don't want that smoke. Right? What are we doing?
You know what that was for?
What?
That was for Kenny Pickett faking out everybody on that fake slide. That was it. We're even now. What? You come over here on the sideline, boink.
I don't know who that coach staff person was, but pretty good forearm dropped on Izzy, right?
Pitt got the last laugh.
Yeah, oh, no question.
They got the belt.
Last thing here before we get to the bottom of the hour, Pat Bostic next, by the way. Tyson Pumachon, Frank Ladson in the portal for Clemson. Not surprised?
I am with Ladson, but, you know, he's been hurt. We just haven't seen him play.
Right.
He was a highly – both these guys are highly touted coming out of high school. I mean, that's just nature of the beast with what Dabo recruits. Number two right there was supposed to be an all-world player. He just has not been able to stay healthy. Right. We just haven't seen Ladson in the game. So it's unfortunate, but, you know, the way Clemson recruits, there'll be the next wave of wide receivers, quarterbacks. Apparently this kid from – Texas, they've signed, supposed to be an all-world five-star quarterback. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Kids want to play.
Yeah, no question.
Kids want to play.
And they've got the power.
They have all the power.
Absolutely.
You know, I can get up and leave tonight if I have to. Yeah. So, and we just saw the kid from Ohio State who signed, who left high school early, yours, out of Texas, got a seven-figure name, image, and likeness, went to Ohio State.
That's right.
Taking less snaps than I have. He's gone. Catch you later. So, you know, it's just the world that we live in. Welcome to the college athletics.
All right. On the other side, Pat Bostic will join us from the Steel City. Panthers still reveling in their title from Saturday night. We'll talk to Pat Bostic, the analyst on Pitt Radio, about this win and maybe some perspective about this Panther program. Next as Packer and Durham continues in the Power Hour on ACCN, presented by Subway.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer in Durham on a Monday after a championship weekend and is about as crazy a week of college athletics, and it's still going on. Who knows what happens at Miami?
Right.
Coaching searches, ADs moving. Who knows what's going to happen? I know this, though. The Pitt Panthers are your ACC football champions. That I do know, Wes Durham.
Let's go live to the Steel City. Pat Bostic has covered Pittsburgh all year long and for years on radio with the great Bill Hillgrove, played for the Panthers, and now helps us get some perspective here. Pat, first of all, congratulations to the team. Congratulations to everybody in Pitt with the athletics and in your area, especially in development. I know it's always good when you win, right?
It's good times. Appreciate you having me on, and obviously was an epic Saturday night. a legendary season, and just keep riding the wave is the motto.
You know what was cool? And I really didn't know what to expect. I mean, we're so used to Clemson being in that game, and Clemson brings 60,000 fans, and whoever they're going to play has got their slither. I didn't know what to expect walking in a Bank of America, but I thought both Pitt and Wake brought the heat, man. The fan bases on both sides were into the game. It was electric. It was a blast being here in person.
It really was, Mark. I mean, I thought the blue and gold was there from Friday morning on. I went to Fan Fest on Friday evening, and it was just a sea of blue and gold and all the streets throughout Charlotte. Obviously, the weather was perfect. It's been a terrific season so far to that point. And they have supported all year, and we're looking forward to the opportunity to get down to Charlotte. And I thought the Wake fans, while they weren't there Friday, they had a little bit of a shorter commute with that hour and 10-minute drive. And it was as good of a championship game atmosphere you can ask for, and something, you know, I'll never forget calling that, and just the emotion in the stadium, obviously a terrific result. But the atmosphere was lived up to its billing.
Pat, where do we kind of start with slotting this particular team? I mean, a championship obviously outright in the ACC, that's the first time in the league. It's been a while. Pitt has shared Big East in the past, those type deals. I know it's not national championship, so I'm certainly not trying to, you know, place it in an area that probably it doesn't fit. But in your world, where does this championship team kind of fit for Pat Narduzzi and maybe for Pitt football?
You know, I think it's up there. I mean, it'd be hard-pressed to compare anybody to the 76 team or the 79, 80, 81, the 33-3 teams. But to win 11 football games and win a conference championship for the first time in the school's history is – it merits, you know, one of the top, you know, 5, 6, 7 teams in Pitt history. And the way they did it, obviously there's the, you know, the Western Michigan loss that you scratch your head at, and the Miami loss was, you know, equally difficult. But really, I mean, I want to say 7, 8 games this season, they won by double digits. And a slew of conference games, they won by double digits. It wasn't always a blowout, but they pulled away in the fourth quarter. They won in championship fashion. And they did the same thing Saturday night. They put the game away. Defensively, they were elite against Wake Forest, against an offense that obviously had a lot of hype and deservedly so. And they did it behind a quarterback that had the best single season in Pitt history. And I don't think – when you put all those factors together, I think it's for sure a top 10 season in Pitt history. And obviously, you go back to the 20s and 30s, those are pretty good too. But in my lifetime, this is one of the best I've seen.
Pat, there's all kinds of irony here. Before we even get to the bowl with before we get into Pat Narduzzi seeing his old guys back, which would be cool in the bowl. But I thought it was cool on Saturday night when the legends all came out. And the last one introduced was Dan Marino, who still has that electric aura about him. It doesn't matter where he is. And obviously the Pitt fans went nuts. The Wake Forest fans went nuts. But to hear his name mentioned on that field, there he is live in person. And about 5 minutes later, man, next thing you know, here's Pickett out there, you know, dealing 58-yard fake left, go right, touchdown. It just seemed like, man, it just seemed like the alignment was right. Didn't it? I mean, here's Pitt, here's Marino, and next thing you know, it's just electric. It was just really, really cool.
It was, you know, to break his record and throw, you know, that 80th touchdown pass with him in the building. I just think you never question or mess with fate. And, you know, Kenny made a decision a year ago this month to come back and set out to do – I don't think he may have planned it to be this good, but it's been just unreal is the level of success. And I think fate was to have it that he was going to win a championship for the University of Pittsburgh and break Dan Marino's record with Dan Marino in the house. And you know, I know he'll never forget that. I'll never forget it, and I don't think Danny will either.
Pat, I want to go in the big picture here. When Paul Chris left to go to Wisconsin, and Pat Narduzzi got this job, Pittsburgh had already entered the ACC. I mean, they had Tyler Boyd and Devin Street and Aaron Donald on those first couple of years in the league. Pat Narduzzi, though, was given an opportunity to build this thing, and at times it wasn't easy. Lots of injuries, had to fortify the depth. The resources of college football kind of changed during that time frame. his stick-to-itiveness, you went through kind of several athletic administration theories at that time. Heather Like obviously has done a marvelous job. Kind of all of it coming together, it feels like, this year in some way.
Yeah, no, I mean, Wes, it hasn't been without some struggles. And, you know, there's been some finding yourself throughout this. I think Pat Narduzzi has evolved and matured. He's still that gritty, you know, Youngstown guy that wants to just get after you. And his defenses embody that. And they did that Saturday night. But I think when he hired Mark Whipple 3 seasons ago and slowly, you know, kind of took the shackles off Kenny Pickett in this offense and started to recruit some more offensive talent and got away from running the ball 35, 40 times a game. That was a departure from maybe the plan that Pat Narduzzi had at Michigan State. But it was one to evolve and to meld into the ACC and what it was going to take to win in the ACC. So, again, success is always linear. Growth isn't always linear. There was a down year, obviously 17, ended with a great win against Miami. A Coastal Division championship in 18, tough loss to Clemson, didn't end that season the right way. And then 19 and 20 were a little bit inconsistent, but I think the evolution of the program, you know, the base has been an upward arrow. And I think that arrow will continue to go up.
All right, so now let's fast forward to New Year's Day, 6, bowl game. You're heading down to ATL. When I saw the pairings yesterday, before they were even unveiled, Pat, I'm thinking, if I'm Kenny Pickett, I got my feet up and I got ACC championship T-shirt on, a baseball cap, who would I love to see in that game? And I'm thinking to myself, if I was Kenny Pickett, man, based on what I've saw this year, I'd love to play Michigan State because that's secondary. Man, let me have at it. And sure enough, when those pairings came up and I saw Michigan State, hey, they got a really good club. Don't get me wrong. There's a reason they're ranked 10th. They've done some really good things. Mel Tucker's been out of sight. But that secondary can be had. And I got to figure Kenny Pickett's going to watch tape and go, all right, boys, let's go. Let's sling this thing all over the yard.
I think he's excited. And, you know, he said after the game, plans on playing. I know there's always a question of that these days and understandably. But legacy has always been important to Kenny. And, you know, winning a 12th game would be, you know, I think the last brushstroke on his legacy at Pitt and an emphatic one. You know, the Michigan State, the Big Ten matchup is awesome. Obviously a top 10 team with a terrific tailback and Walker that has just pounded people. But that fits into what Pat Narduzzi likes to do defensively, stop the run. And if their performance against Sean Tucker and Syracuse is any evidence, they're going to find a way to slow Walker in that run game down for Michigan State. And I like Kenny Pickett in a shootout. And I think it's going to be a great atmosphere. I think Pitt fans will travel just as well to Atlanta as they did to Charlotte. And I'm hoping that the 30th down there in Mercedes-Benz Stadium is a coronation of Kenny Pickett and a 12th win for the Panther program.
All right, Pat, I'm going to be the first guy to ask this question. Who's the cube in 22?
That's the question, right? I mean, it's never easy to replace a legend, and I think it's fair to say that Kenny's a legend
sure.
for what he's done this year and before. Nick Patty's, you know, played well in spot duty. Davis Bevel's got tremendous potential. But I think in the day and age we're living in, I think there's a lot of quarterbacks out there in the country that would say they love to throw to Jordan Addison, Jared Wayne, and Gavin Bartholomew. So I think you got to keep an open mind no matter who's in that room. Come springtime, it's going to be a competition because, you know, you look at the NFL and college is different in a lot of ways, but it's not. When you can hit a run and make a run as a program, you've got to take advantage of it. And I think with what's coming back on Pitt's roster, you kind of have the right man. You always got to have the right quarterback, particularly when you got probably a Biletnikoff winning receiver back. You got to get that right. And I know it's going to be a straining out process, but I think the options are there's more options on the table than people might realize.
By the way, Pat, does Narduzzi know you have 1 year of eligibility left? He's asking.
He's known that for a long time, and I still haven't gotten a call.
Oh, man. Well, congratulations to everybody at Pitt, especially you and Billy. You boys have You boys have soldiered on up there. I imagine the legend was in rare form Saturday night after that one, huh?
He did. He flew back because he had a Steeler game, and there were Twitter images and videos of people flooding the streets in Oakland, and students. And he closed the broadcast by saying he's getting on a charter to go back to Pittsburgh, and he may find his way to Oakland. judging by what I heard on the air Sunday with him calling the Steelers win over the Ravens, I don't think Billy made it to Oakland, but that's probably a good thing for all parties involved.
Well, I tell you what, after that Saturday-Sunday doubleheader, the horseshoe's lodged. He's living right because those were two unbelievable Ws.
They were Ws, and hoping to get some more good news. Obviously, this week I got my towel here.
You guys see my husband? Oh, boy, look at that. Nice. Look at you guys, huh?
Yeah, man. Trying to get the young man in New York. He deserves it.
Oh, there's no question. No question. Hey, Pat, thanks. Be well.
Appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
You bet. Past Bostic, the Pitt radio analyst, former quarterback, now works in athletics. Always great to visit with us.
It's always good when you're coming back with hardware, man. You come back with hardware, people get excited. I mean, Louis Riddick was on with us last week and said, hey, you know what, man, proud alum. Those alums start coming out from under the rocks when you start winning championships.
You know, we talk about the Heisman on Saturday night. The Home Depot College Football Awards are this week in Atlanta as well. Kenny Pickett, a finalist for like three of those.
I mean, he should be.
Yeah.
Should be.
Jordan Addison, as he mentioned, finalist for the Biletnikoff. Could win it.
Yeah, the Biletnikoff Award, I went off on radio the other day.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay, what'd you do?
Well, here's what I did.
Okay. You know,
and I'm not knocking anybody who got as a finalist.
Sure.
All deserving.
Right.
But you mean to tell me those three dudes from Ohio State?
None of them.
Those frisbee-catching dogs from Ohio State, not a single one made the final?
Right.
Are you kidding me? All three of those guys are first-round NFL draft picks.
There you go.
Every one of them.
Right.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Did not – none of them made the finals.
That's right. Yeah.
So, but it tells you how good Jordan Addison is.
Yeah. We'll see. Kidding. All right. On the other side, news from everywhere, including some ACC. We got some news yesterday. We got some more just a minute ago. We'll pass that along.
Good news.
Actually
good news.
Yeah, this is good news. So, we'll do all that. We'll tell you about what's ahead tonight. Florida State, as you mentioned, plays for a national championship.
BYU.
Against BYU. We'll outline some of the basketball that's ahead. And we will dive into that and a little bit more. Plus a birthday wish. A birthday wish today. We'll cover that and more. For a guy who supplements the show on a regular basis, so to speak. All that and more. Packer and Durham continues. On a Monday, presented by Subway, right after this on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham is presented by the Eat Fresh Refresh at Subway.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Don't forget, ACC basketball comes up on Saturday. We got a full day for you. Get started up at noon Eastern, but we're featuring women's game, Clemson versus Syracuse at 6 o'clock. And then we will go to the Smith Center in Chapel Hill at 8, Pack. Get a look at it. The Phoenix travel to meet the Tar Heels.
I'm going to say...
At 8 p.m.
I'm going to say 8:26.
What?
That's when that game will be over.
No! Come on now. Come on now.
Well, I mean, the tip-off will be what, 8:07-ish? After all the prelims?
Malcolm Huckabee and I will be there for the broadcast.
Oh, you're doing it?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I don't want any pom-pom waving from you. Remember, this is the ACC Network. I don't want to hear any of this. Boy, the Phoenix are really getting hosed tonight. I don't want to hear any of that. No, big man.
It's not going to happen.
You can't bring the pom-poms out. You're on the ACC Network.
Right there. Right in the middle, as you would expect.
Right in the middle of the road.
I don't want any of that. Just as you would
expect. Boy, Elon would have the lead if it wasn't for these officials tonight.
That's not happening.
I don't want to hear any of that nonsense from you.
Yeah. Okay.
Can't believe Hubert's still shooting threes.
Stop.
Elon down 62 as we go to the second half. I don't want to hear any of that from you.
Stop it.
None of that.
All right. Florida State plays BYU tonight. A chance for a soccer national championship on the women's side.
I'm rooting hard for them.
Yep.
Last year was so close. This team, this program, Coach Krikorian's got it going on now.
Yep.
They are legit. And this was returned for some unfinished business.
Yep.
And they got themselves exactly where they want to be playing for the title tonight.
Jen Hildreth and Julie Foudy have the game for you tonight, 8 o'clock on ESPNU. Florida State trying to get that first national title since 2018. And we already mentioned the College Cup. A couple of ACC teams have made their way to the College
Cup. Notre Dame and Clemson play each other. They're two of the four left standing. And as I said, if Brian Kelly was still with the Irish, he'd say it'd be a tough one. We got to take on the Tigers.
You know, part of our pillar here on Packer and Durham, presented by Subway, is when news breaks out, we break in, right?
Wasn't aware of that, but I'll go with it.
Pete Thamel tweeting here in the last few minutes, Phil Jurkovec has informed the Boston College coaching staff he'll be returning to school next year. He'll be among, according to Thamel, among the top quarterbacks NFL scouts will be watching in 22 for the 23 draft. That is good news, especially less than 24 hours after Malik Cunningham tweeted he's coming back to the University of Louisville, Pack.
All awesome news, and for a conference that was loaded with big-time talent at the quarterback position, I think 22 is going to be great too.
Yeah.
I really do. And this is tremendous news for the league and for BC.
Yep.
Big time.
That is real big news. All right, so let's think. You got your Devin Leary, Brennan Armstrong, Phil Jurkovec.
Well, the only thing, though, this transfer
Malik
portal.
Malik Cunningham?
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming everybody's good to go, right? Everybody's good to go.
Sam Hartman?
And who, right? And who knows who TVD?
Dang.
Just saying.
There could be a name or two around the corner. You never know, right?
Well, and there's going to be some freshmen. There's going to be some transfer portal guys. I mean, it's just the world that we're living in now.
Oof.
Should be good.
Yeah. So, looking forward to that. All right, basketball. We're going to turn our attention to hoops as the week unfolds. Who knows? You may see a little accounting tomorrow on the basketball side.
We are starting accounting.
Oh, boy. 14 of the 15 teams open play in the league this weekend. Duke, as you see on the screen, December 22nd. Here's the slate ahead, Tuesday night. Remember, this exam week on many campuses, so the schedule will be limited. Tuesday night, Villanova is at Syracuse, and then Saturday you got Syracuse at Georgetown, Kentucky at Notre Dame, LSU and Georgia Tech playing as part of the Holiday Hoops Giving at State Farm Arena in downtown Atlanta. There's a look at kind of the non-conference marquee games that you might see during this week.
Play yet? They're really good.
Yeah, Villanova is quite good. A bit challenge Jay, for the Orange.
Yeah, Jay Wright's got it going on from that perspective. Yeah. You know, the Nets unveiled today. I've been waiting on this.
So we're going to announce accounting in conjunction with the Net?
You know how much. I set it up the other day.
Just hand me the thing over
well,
there.
Well, no, I'm not going to touch it yet because, you know, Notre Dame's still stuck behind there. I got to get Notre Dame
Well, we got to get Notre Dame out of there. Might not go well, but they're going to be on.
Well, they better figure it out quick because they were not great against BC.
No.
Here comes Kentucky. So the Net rankings are coming out. Now, the first time the NCAA unveiled the Net,
yeah, it was awful.
You and I were doing radio.
Awful.
And we ripped that thing sideways.
Right.
So here we are. We're now a couple years into this bad boy.
Yes, sir.
How messed up do you think the Net's going to be when we have fun with it? Because it hasn't been out yet. But you know there's going to be some beauties
I think we're going to take accounting that we're going to do tomorrow and then compare it to the Net ranking of the ACC schools. That's what we're going to do.
The Net always has three or four that you go, what? What metric are they using?
That's right. All right, we're blowing out candles today. One of our buddies, Tim Beray. Happy birthday.
How about that?
Any idea where Tim falls today? Is this a big one?
Is
this
Tim a marquee? Tim is 39 today. 39 for Tim?
I don't think 39 is the answer.
He's been doing that for about 20-some-odd years.
Maybe 39?
20, maybe, yeah, at least that.
So, Tim, happy birthday. Notice he did not do the basketball broadcast this weekend, so I hope he was enjoying his birthday.
Yeah, he should be.
Yeah.
Man of his young age.
Yeah.
Part-time.
All right. More tomorrow. David Hale, thank you for your time. Pat Bostic, appreciate it as well. Good luck to Florida State tonight, playing for a national championship.
And good luck to Miami today, whatever you happen to give us.
More transaction news and more tomorrow, right here on this Packer and Durham program. Have a great day, everybody.
Packer and Durham.